Let's just start with a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you that we can meet together this morning, that we can worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray for those who are unable to be with us this morning, that wherever they are, whatever they're doing, that Lord, you would bless them and draw near to them. Pray, Lord, for ourselves, that you would help us to focus on you, to give you our praise, our worship, and that, Lord, you would speak through the preaching of your word this morning. Change us and transform us, Lord. Make us the people that you've called us to be, and help us to just worship you and give you the glory, the honour, and the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's time to turn our hearts and minds to the eternal truth found in God's word. And the title of my sermon this morning is Living Transformed Lives, Setting Our Mind on Things Above. All of the songs that we've sung this morning have really been about focusing on who is above, our everlasting God, our everlasting Saviour. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul, he really offers us some profound wisdom on how we should approach life as followers of Jesus Christ. And as we explore these verses together and discover how we can live transformed lives by setting our minds on the things that are above. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 says this: Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honour at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. We live in a world that is obsessed with earthly things. The idea of a God is outside of most people's thought patterns in the 21st century. But we as believers, we who know that we've been redeemed, we who know that we have been saved, we are still meant to focus on heavenly things. Yes, earthly things concern us. Yes, we have the worries of the day, the week, the month. But ultimately, we know that we are secure in Christ. And we can trust him. And if our identity is found in Christ, then our priorities should also align with kingdom values. We set our minds on heavenly things. We cultivate a mindset of faith, hope, and we look at things with an eternal perspective, don't we? It's not just about what we can see now or what we can't see now. It's about knowing that we are safe and secure for eternity because of what Christ has already done. There's 3 points I want to cover this morning: how we embrace our identity in Christ, setting our minds on heavenly realities, and transformation through renewed thinking. So the first point, embracing our identity in Christ. The Apostle Paul begins by reminding believers of the new identity that they have in Christ. We are not who we were. We are no longer away from God. Through faith, we have been raised to life with him. He's conquered the power of sin. He's conquered the power of death. He has set us free from the burden of sin. And our spiritual transformation, it's meant to be more than just a change in behaviour. There is a profound shift that needs to take place in the core of who we are, the core of our identity. We are now children of the living God, and we are called to live in the reality that we're assured of citizenship in heaven. We're assured that when we step off this mortal coil, we will step into an eternity where we can worship and praise and behold the face of God for ourselves. In order to do that, while we're here on earth, God takes us through a process of sanctification, changing us, cleansing us, renewing us, making us fit for heaven. And while we're here on this planet, we are meant to align our thoughts, our desires, our ambitions with what God has called us to desire, what God has called us to think about. Paul emphasizes here the fact that we have been raised to new life with Christ. It's already happened. It's a finished and completed work. And in some ways, I suppose Paul's words here echo the language of baptism. It speaks of our union with Christ, the union that we have in his death and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 said, "We died and were buried with Christ by baptism, And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. We are united with Christ. We're united in his death. We're united in his resurrection. We have been saved and set free because of what he has already done. And during baptism, we identify with that death and the burial and the raising to new life. You know, baptism is something that symbolizes our spiritual rebirth and our new life in Christ. And just as Christ was raised to new life, so are we. We are empowered to live victoriously over sin. We're empowered to live in the newness of life. We have a union that's because of a complete transformation within us. Our spiritual condition has changed. We were lost. We were dead in our trespasses and sins, as the Bible would call it. And yet now we're ransomed, we're healed, we're restored, we are forgiven. We have a new identity in Christ, all because of what he has done. Not by works that anyone should boast, but by the grace of God, we're free. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says this: "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun." As believers in Christ, we're meant to experience this radical transformation, a complete renewal of our inner being. Our old nature, our old sinful nature, has been crucified with Christ, and we are made new in him. That is meant to affect how we live. That is meant to affect how we operate, how we behave. But I think in the modern 21st century churches, the radical transformation that perhaps happened in believers' lives years ago doesn't seem to take place as often. In the 21st century church, it's about, I think, people fitting God in where they'll let him, rather than letting him take full control and doing what he has called us to do, to live how he has called us to live. A transformation is not meant to be superficial. It's not just meant to be, you know, we change the language that we use when we're speaking to others. The transformation that we are meant to experience and we can experience changes us from the inside out. And it should impact every area of our lives. Whatever we do, whatever we say, wherever we go, whatever we don't do or say or go must be impacted because Christ is in us. The author and preacher John Piper said this: "As followers of Christ, our primary allegiance is to his kingdom. Our identity is not defined by the standards of this world, but by our union with Christ and our citizenship in heaven." And that's so true, isn't it? It's not about what the world says about us. It's not about what the world thinks about us. It's not about behavior modification. It is about real, true heart transformation. Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 says this: "But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control." Are you looking forward to your resurrection body? A body that's perfect, a spiritual body that will experience no pain, no suffering, none of the conditions that bind us now. We will be completely changed and transformed almost in the blink of an eye. And as citizens of heaven, our ultimate hope is the return of Christ, the transformation that will take place, our resurrected bodies. Most importantly for us, it's knowing that the future will be with God, there in his presence. That's what should motivate us to live in a transformed way. That's what should motivate us to wait with anticipation, to wait with expectancy, knowing that the present sufferings that we go through are temporary compared to the glory that awaits us. And of course, that glory is a free gift. It's not something we earn. It's not something that we can strive for or achieve in our own strength. God loves us so much that he gave us the gift of his Son that we might have healing and wholeness and eternal life, all because of what he's done. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says this, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." It's a wonderful truth, isn't it? Our union with Christ. We're not only raised to new life, we're not only forgiven, but we are seated with him in heavenly realms. In many ways, this speaks of our spiritual position, the authority that we have as believers. We are empowered by the indwelling Holy Spirit. Our lives are no longer defined by earthly limitations. Our lives are not defined by who we were. They're defined by who we are in Christ. Our heavenly position in Christ. Second point, setting our minds on heavenly realities. Having established our identity in Christ, Paul exhorts believers to set their minds on the realities of heaven. You know, this is a deliberate choice. This is a deliberate focus. To choose to focus on eternal truths. Not just the temporary concerns of this world. Not about what may happen 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock when we leave this building. To focus our eyes on the future, the eternal nature of God. By fixing our eyes on Christ, by keeping him at the center of all that we do, by allowing him to reign supreme in our lives, we can gain a perspective, we can find a strength, we can navigate life's difficulties and challenges with faith and with hope. Because we know that God loves us. We know that God cares for us. We know that he has already saved us and set us free. Set your sights on the realities of heaven. This is a deliberate and continuous action. Instead of being distracted by the world, instead of being distracted by circumstances, we set our sights on God. We set our sights on Jesus. We direct our thoughts towards him, our affection, our priorities towards the things of heaven. It's heaven where Christ is exalted as King, and part of our mindset must be to worship our King, our Saviour, our Lord, our Redeemer. Each of us in our lives should have a purpose and a conviction that's driven by the eternal truth of God's Word. There are so many in the world today that would dismiss the Bible as being old, outdated. There are many in the world today that do not see the Bible as the Word of God. But those of us whose minds have been illuminated by the power of the Holy Spirit know the truth that God's word is true. That God's word is what we're meant to live by. That God has given us every instruction, every precept that we need to know about how we can be in relationship with him. About how we can be saved. But we're not meant to keep that information to ourselves, are we? We're meant to participate in this battle to win the lost. To tell others the truth about who Jesus is. To not keep it to ourselves as some kind of magical get out of hell card. But to share it with all that we meet. Charles Spurgeon said this, "Our minds are the battleground where spiritual warfare is waged. By filling our thoughts with heavenly realities, we guard ourselves against the distractions and deceptions of this world." If we're honest, we live in a world that is deceived. We live in a world that is deluded. We live in a world that believes that they can be the best them that they can be, all in their own strength. We live in a world where people no longer rely on God, they rely on credit cards. No longer walk by faith, but by some kind of misguided sight. And there are so many in this world that are stumbling in darkness. Or those that do not perceive what you and I perceive to be true. I've got new glasses now. It's my first new prescription in a number of years. And I was really struggling to actually see at night. Glare from the street lights, glare from headlights. Stuff that caused me to be distracted when I drove. And it made it difficult. And now, By the grace of modern technology and a very skilled optician, I have a new prescription that actually allows me to see what's there. And God's word allows us to see what is really there. Unlocking the truth of the heavenly realms, unlocking the truth of who God is, unlocking the truth of our fallenness, our sinfulness without him. There are many in this world that need an accurate prescription, don't they? But you and I know the truth. Philippians 4 verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honourable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Wouldn't it be lovely if we always did that? If we always thought about the things that were excellent, the things that were worthy, the things that are praiseworthy. But I think looking around the room, we're all human, aren't we? And often we can set our things on what it is that's concerning us or concerning someone else rather than on the things of God. Perhaps our default position, even as believers, is, oh no, I'm in this situation, what can I do about it? Instead of asking the question, what is God doing in it? What is God doing through it? How is God using this situation for his honour, for his glory? How is he using this situation to shape me, to mould me, to help sanctify me, to become the person that he has called me to be? I think we fall into a trap that we try and do things in our own strength when actually we're just meant to give things to God. And if our mindset is cultivated in the right way, if we are focusing on that which is virtuous, that which is praiseworthy, then when trials and difficulties and situations and circumstances come along, our default is God and what God can do in and through the circumstance or situation, rather than rely on our own strength. And in those times of difficulty, in those times of trial, that's when we need to get into the truth of God's word. That's when we need to think about his goodness. That's when we need to guard our hearts and our minds against the negative thoughts, the negative things that the world would say are important. We need to align our minds, our hearts with the will of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18 says this. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Just see this shift in focus that the Apostle Paul is emphasizing here. Not the temporary troubles of the world, but the eternal realities of God. The eternal realities of God's kingdom. Yes, we'll still face challenges. Yes, we'll still face trials in the present. But our faith is anchored in the unseen. The promises of God, those are things that will endure for eternity. And that's where our focus needs to be. Third point, transformed through renewed thinking. If we are consistently and constantly setting our minds on heavenly things, if we constantly dwell in the Word of God, then our thinking will become transformed. We will be transformed by the truth of God's word and we will have a mind like Christ. The renewal that God brings into our lives has a profound change. Our attitudes, our values, our actions, the very nature of us reflecting something of Christ's character more fully. All of us can manifest the love of God, the grace of God, the holiness of God in our lives. And we can pretend to have love for others, but real genuine love, the servant heart, the commitment that we're meant to place others before ourselves, that's often far more difficult. But God can change our hearts and our minds. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he continually renews us day by day and transforms us and changes us. Perhaps we need to spend more time thinking about the things of heaven. The renewed thinking that comes when we are focused on God and the things of God. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts, transforms us from the inside out. He's conforming us, he's changing us, he's shaping us into the image of Christ. The modern world looks for a quick fix, a quick solution. The modern world doesn't want to spend time actually working on things. They want an instant result. Did you know that you can buy microwavable chips that cook in 47 seconds? You don't have to waste time peeling them. You don't have to waste time ensuring they're all the same length. You get this little packet in a box that you stand up in your microwave, and 47 seconds later, you've got chips hot enough to burn the roof of your mouth. All with no effort. I think there are a number of Christians in the modern world that are what I would call microwave Christians. They want a quick fix. They want instant sustenance. They want all of the taste, all of the joy, but none of the work. But those of us that have been called by Christ, those of us who have entered into this living relationship with our Saviour, those of us who know what the Word of God says, knows that actually God asks us, expects us to participate and not be passengers. It's not about the quick fix, it's about being in it for the long haul. Learning, discovering, changing, being transformed. That is something that should happen from the moment we are saved to the moment that we are called home. But the world doesn't want that, do they? No, the world wants instant gratification, instant fulfillment, instant faith even. But the Word of God says, yes, saved once, forever. But you need to be made fit for heaven. Sanctified, transformed, changed by allowing Christ to work in you and through you. Think about the things of heaven. The Holy Spirit needs to work in our lives to allow us to fix our eyes on Jesus, to focus on the things of heaven. And yes, as we read the Word, as we immerse ourselves in Scripture, as we spend time in prayer, our minds are renewed. We become increasingly conformed to the will of God. He continues to work in us to transform us and change us. The preacher Timothy Keller said this: true transformation begins in the mind. As we allow God's word to dwell richly within us, our thoughts and desires are aligned with his truth, leading to a life of obedience and fruitfulness. Ooh, obedience. That's a difficult word for some. What you mean? Actually doing what God has said, actually believing that what he wrote in the Word of God all those years ago is still relevant to me in the 21st century? Yes. God's Word is true. God's Word is unchanging. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And his Word is perfect. There are far too many in the modern churches, far too many people who would call themselves preachers, that pick and choose which verses of the Bible they're comfortable with. It's no longer about belief, it's all about comfort. Oh yeah, that's an easy message to deliver. That's something that's palatable. Let's talk about the love of God and God's mercy and ignore the fact that he's a God of justice, a God of wrath. Let's pick the easy bits because then people can believe and join a social club rather than actually worship the living God, the true God. If you've only got a partial view of God, you're not going to understand who it is you're worshipping. You're not going to understand what it is that you've been saved from. But when you allow God to renew your mind, to transform your thinking, then you understand the truth. And it's the truth that sets us free. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 and 6 says this: those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. It's an incredible contrast here, isn't it? In our understanding of this verse, we delve into the profound nature of our mind's orientation as clarified by the Apostle Paul. There's the mindset of the flesh and there's the mindset of the spirit. And in the former, in the flesh, there's a preoccupation with worldly desires which lead to spiritual death. But in the latter, there's a focus on the things of the spirit that lead to life and peace, eternal life. This passage really underscores the importance of aligning our thoughts, our desires, our will with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Not succumbing to the temptations of the flesh, not listening to what the world says is good and appropriate for a 21st century person. It's about what God has said from the beginning, who we're meant to be in Him. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 22 and 24. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. The Apostle Paul here is emphasizing the transformative power of Christ in renewing our minds, in renewing our hearts. And he is exhorting us to put off our old selves. Our old selves that was characterized by sin. There's a renewal here that's not just a superficial change. It's not about behavior modification. It is about a profound transformation from the inside out. The result is that we will be in the way that God intended us to be, living according to his righteousness, living according to his holiness, living the lives that we're called to live, separate, set apart, to live in him. But again, this is a continuous process. There's a continuous process of sanctification that takes place in our lives where we're being changed, where we're being conformed, where the Holy Spirit is working in us and renewing us. Together, all of these passages, they highlight the importance of cultivating a renewed mind, a renewed heart. And in order to do that, we have to be grounded in the truth of God's word. We've got to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us. We need to allow God to work in us and through us to bring about transformation. Friends, each of us today should be very different from the day when we first came to the Lord. And all of us change, and all of us are being transformed in different ways at different times, and the walk that you have been on is not necessarily the same as the walk that I've been on. But God's truth is unchanging. But over time, he changes our understanding of his truth. He expands the reality of his truth in our hearts and minds. He brings us into a place where we're walking closer with him, where we're seeking and desiring to learn more of him. And every day we should seek to draw closer to the one who loves us, the one who has saved us, the one who has set us free. So my encouragement to all of us this morning is to fix our eyes on Jesus, to live in anticipation of his return, to continually consider the words of his eternal truth, and to allow him to empower us to live transformed lives. And let's heed the Apostle Paul's exhortation to set our minds on things above, to be transformed as we live in Christ, to embrace our identity in him, and to fix our thoughts on the heavenly realities and experience the wonderful power of God working in us and through us to renew and transform our minds. May the Holy Spirit help each of us to live lives which bear witness to the transformation that God is continuing to do in our lives. And may he help us to bring others into his kingdom by sharing something of his love, his mercy, and his grace, by sharing the truth of the gospel. This week, let's all take intentional steps to prioritize spiritual disciplines. To spend time in the Word of God, to spend time praying, to spend time thinking, meditating on the Word of God. Let's listen for God's voice. Let's take the opportunity to be transformed. And let's live transformed lives that others may see something different in us. May each of us be the light that shines in the darkness of this world, that others may be set free from their burden of sin.